Hi, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of the Traditional Conjure Podcast. This is Papa Matthew Levi, and I'm here with Professor Ames. What's going on tonight, Ames?
Greetings, everyone. Just hanging out. Came back from a trip not long ago, which I think is going to be the inspiration for our discussion tonight. And it became clear on that trip I was being thrown at, you know? It's kind of what we talked about last podcast.
Right.
Just too many coincidences. It took me 4 hours to get from the airport to the hotel. So somebody was working something.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought it would be interesting to have a little conversation tonight about what do you do when you're on the road or you don't have your supplies, when you don't have your little kit that you usually have. What do you do when you're stranded without hoodoo materials?
When it's not readily accessible, huh? So, yep. Go ahead.
So I'll tell you what I did. So, of course, hopped online and got a little backup from friends on the internet, right? Good to have friends. So I had to figure out what I'm in this hotel. It was one of those little kind of residence hotels where they've got a breakfast bar and they've got a little kitchenette and stuff. But it's really easy. You know, it's just like old time root workers. They had to work with what they had around them. So the first thing I did in the morning was I took a spiritual bath with coffee. I went downstairs to the breakfast buffet. I got a cup of coffee and I brought it back. Put in the water and just rinse myself off. Typical spiritual bath. There was a Gideon Bible in the drawer. And so I flipped it open and it fell right to the second half of 91st Psalm. Exactly.
That's a dead giveaway.
So it wasn't it though. then scooped up a little of the bath water, changed clothes, went out, air dried. First, of course, went dressed, took it out, threw it at the crossroads, and that was that. So I started looking around about other things that you could find. Something always easy to find is salt. You know, from a fast food store or in a cabinet, you've always can find little packets of salt. And you can throw that under your bed. You can put that in your shoe. You can dress doorways and windows with it for protection. Always good for that. You know, and it's really easy just to say a little prayer over to bless it and give it strength.
Right.
Pepper, of course, you can find in equal amounts with that. If you've got a little grocery store with you, one of those little bottles, and this is old school, little bottles of olive oil.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do anything with that. That becomes, you throw enough prayer on that, it can do whatever you want it to do.
Right. Yeah. You had mentioned having a grocery store near you, or besides the regular old virgin olive oil or olive oil trick, just praying over it, which, once again, like you said, is completely old school. There was no need for throwing a ton of herbs into it and doing this or doing that. It was a simple prayer over the soil. It becomes holy and it's conditioned to do what it's supposed to do. Furthermore than that, I mean, if you have a grocery store near you, and you're being attacked, you know, you're being attacked. Bay leaves, go get you some bay leaves. Most every single grocery store carries bay leaves and you can get a small package for, you know, I know here I can get a package for 99 cents. You know, go get you some bay leaves, put a bay leaf in each corner of your room. Hold it down. Bricks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go outside and just look around you. Of course, that depends on if you're in like an urban area, you know, or not. And find you a little piece of a brick, smash that up with a hammer. You can lay that across your window sills. You can put it down by the door frames, things like that. So, yeah. There is always something to use, and that is the key to hoodoo, is use what you got. Don't worry if you ain't got it. There ain't no need to go and rush to an online market or the nearest Botanica to get what you need. You have it all already.
Right. Yeah, so things I think that are really easy to find. First of all, I would say, you know, it is worth the small amount of time to memorize the 23rd Psalm.
Oh,
it's the catch-all, do-all, the Lord is my shepherd. It covers everything. Right. It's worth spending a half an hour or an hour, if you're really slow, memorizing it, because then you can use that to bless oil. You can use that to ward off, to protect, to gain favor, all those sort of things. Right. So definitely put that on your list of to-dos, I would say.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Another thing is for the women out there, you know, you have those little compacts with the mirrors inside of them for your makeup or whatever. You can take that. Uh-huh. Let's say you're in a hotel uh-huh. room. You can take that, pop it open, stick it right on your windowsill facing out from your window, and that'll reflect anything that's trying to come in.
Very
push
good.
It right back out. So, yeah.
Very good, yeah.
Now, as far as you were talking about, you know, taking the time to memorize the 23rd Psalm, Proverbs 12:21 is another good one to use. Psalm 140, very, very strong mm-hmm. protection there. I would also say 91 also. But
and you don't always have to – 91's long.
That's why
that's pretty long.
That's going to be hard to memorize. But if you have that Gideon Bible in that hotel room, you got access.
There you go.
You know?
There you go. And, of course, on the internet, you can easily go to, you know, biblical references. So just remembering a few of those, 51, 91, 140, 23, all those are good to kind of keep in your mind to know what to look up if you need to.
Right. I'm a big fan of 37 when I'm trying to, you know, project something back or reflect it, push it away. Another cool trick is go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, by all means, go ahead, man.
You had an idea and I didn't.
Okay. Another cool trick is, and this isn't necessarily on the protection side of things. It's just something neat if you're ever out and about and you just want to try it out. We all know about sweetening work and using sugar, honey, or syrup to do certain things, to sweeten things mm-hmm. to us. Well, how about sweetening a person to you, but you don't have a honey jar? You don't have a mason jar. You don't have herbs. You don't have honey. Let's say you're at a local restaurant. You get this waiter or waitress that just couldn't be any nastier to you. They just despise you, okay? Don't want to serve you. They're not paying any attention. Most restaurants have little sugar packets. So what I've done before is take a little sugar packet, write the waitress's or the waiter's name on it, and then write my name across theirs, and then write my petition on it. Flip it over. Hold it underneath my hand, and within 5-10 minutes, that they're paying a lot more attention to me.
Mm-hmm. Another variation on that you can do, what I did, open the sugar packet, get you two of those little wooden coffee stir sticks, and you can write their names on that, hold them together, and turn it like a key in that open packet. Keep twisting them in that sugar packet.
I didn't think
so. That's kind of a small variation on an old school where they would use a box of sugar and sure. something like a popsicle stick or a tongue depressor. So it's kind of the miniature version of it. Sugar packets, always easy to get to. Coffee, always easy to get to. Man, if you're somewhere without coffee, you're in worse trouble than anything else.
Oh, man, if I'm somewhere without caffeine, you won't find me there.
Another option you've got with the grocery store for good cleansing, egg cleansing, right? So if you're not able to take a spiritual bath, just get an egg, roll it around your body, you know?
Right.
And use that to kind of cleanse off all that mess. You can just crack it and throw it down the toilet afterward.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be burying it in the yard or anything super special. But that's kind of a quick hit, easy thing that doesn't take a lot of material.
Right. Yeah, so there are tons of different little MacGyver hoodoo type of tricks that can be employed, and you know, I think
right.
that's the major thing about this system is that it does not have while we try and stick to what's you know, tried and tested and you know has continually worked, we don't have mm-hmm. to stick to those specific workings. We can get to bare minimums and get the job done just as efficiently. Let's see what I like
what you're talking about is that if you learn the principles in hoodoo, you can apply them to whatever materials you need to, right?
Yep.
So we talk about a honey jar or a sugar box. Well, the principle is, you know, attaching someone's name to that. And so you're writing a petition on the back of a sugar packet. Absolutely, that's kind of crossing two very common activities in hoodoo into one easy, stick it in your pocket, right there at the table kind of moment.
Right. I mean, I've even taken and this sounds a little bit fluffy, but it worked, and so I did it. I've taken toothpicks from a restaurant before, and with a little bit of ingenuity and some found materials, crafted a small little poppet type of doll, named it, baptized it,
sure.
put life into it as that person, put it under a rock outside the hotel door, held that person down, so while I was out and about, they ain't doing nothing to me.
Uh-huh. Very good. You scare me a little bit sometimes.
I'm not all nice. A lot of people seem to think that.
You're mostly nice. Come on. You're mostly. That's fine.
Yeah. I can be vicious when I need to be.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
so another thing I did kind of in the moment of need was, you know, I didn't have any divination material, right? So what do you do? What do you do if you need to do some kind of divination, spur of the moment, and you don't have your tarot cards, your playing cards, or your set of bones, things like that? Well, I just needed a quick answer. So I took my ring off, took the shoelace out of my shoe, and it became a pendulum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked well because I wear the ring all the time. So it has a connection to me. I've already made, you know, association with it. Just asked which way it was swinging, what it meant, yes or no. And it worked just great. It's also a place where if you got that Gideon Bible, you can do a little bibliomancy, right?
Okay.
So just letting the Bible fall over, pointing your finger to a verse, and then using that as an interpretation.
Yep.
I even heard today somebody, using their iPod, and whatever shuffles through on their iPod is the interpretation, is the divination. You do TV channels. You can do all kinds of stuff for that.
Right, right. Well, and you know, bibliomancy isn't just limited to the Bible. It, a lot of people
right.
have used old philosophical books, textbooks, even magazines, things like that. So.
Dictionaries.
Right. Just so anyone out there doesn't get confused that, you know, if you don't have a Bible right there, a book will do, you know, as long as it's a fairly,
yeah.
you know, decent size and has some quality content in it, you know, I wouldn't go looking for some, you know, some nasty old magazine trying to get an answer, but you know what I mean? So, and you know, you were talking about taking off your shoelace and your ring and using that as a pendulum. Well, for the people out there who don't use rings, find you a pencil and tie a shoelace to it. It works
sure.
well. So.
Yeah, you could even take an ink pen that has a clip on it and just run the shoelace under that.
Right.
So you don't have to tie it around.
Right. Oh, and that even brings me to another thing, as we were talking about, you know, divination. Well, if you aren't comfortable using a pendulum, if you and this isn't I wouldn't say that this is true to old school hoodoo, I guess, but scrying, water scrying, You can do that. Take you a bowl of water.
Yeah.
Bust open a pen, drop some ink in there, and see what images you come up with. So there are just tons of ways that, you know, you can get by with very little.
And if you want to do candle work, there's no shame in getting some birthday candles. And you can get birthday candles at a corner 7-Eleven shop, not indoor 7-Eleven, you know, Quickie Mart on the corner, right?
Right.
They always have some little candle. Some of them will carry the plain white paraffin, like emergency candles when the lights go out, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can find those, but having to go to a specialty store and try to find, you know, your 7-day candle or something crazy like that.
Okay, so let's go out on a limb here. Let's formulate a scenario.
All right.
So let's say you're so many miles away from home, you're stuck in a hotel, you spent your last little bit of money on gas in the hotel room, you don't have money to even afford a candle, there's no Bible in the drawer, and you don't have a ring, you don't have a pencil, you're just, you know, very, very plain, very cut and clear. What do you do? You're getting attacked. What do you do?
Fall on your knees and pray.
Well, you know, that's actually a good point, though, you know, because once again, we're approaching the foundation, the core concepts of the system,
right.
You know, right. Prayer is universal. Okay. But then again, at the same time, let's look back at that scenario and say, you know, you don't have anything at your disposal. Okay. Well, that's not necessarily true just because you don't have any money to run up to the convenience store or the grocery store and get what you need.
Right.
Find you a creek. Guarantee you there's some water out there somewhere, no matter where you're – unless you're stuck in the desert, which if you are, you got more to worry about than, you know, someone throwing at you. So you got some water outside. You know, there you go. That you can do a whole lot with water just as much as you can do with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a tree outside? Can you get a piece of bark off of it? And, you know, I'm pretty sure you can find some twine or some sort of some sort of fiber from another plant to make a string of. You want to make a pendulum?
You can probably pull a thread from the inside seam of your shirt if you really had to.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, hoodies with the drawstring is always easy. Shoestrings. Mm-hmm. Those are always easy, you know, and we don't talk too much about it, but there's a whole lot of, written word spells, right? So, Sator square, right? S-A-T-O-R, arepo, tenet, opera, rotas, right? Just makes that square. Don't know what it is. Look it up. S-A-T-O-R, Sator square. You know, every room's going to have a pencil and a piece of paper.
Yep.
Somewhere in that hotel or wherever you are, you're going to be able to find some scrap, the back of an envelope, whatever you need to do. That's always really good protection right there. You can make a petition, like you said, writing out the name of whoever you think is throwing at you, crossing it over with your name, circling it with a petition, folding that up, and you could just stick it in your shoe. Right? So put them under your foot. So that would put their name, that would put them under your control again.
Right. Also, another one is almost every restaurant or eating facility, any place that has food, you're probably going to find Tabasco sauce. If you can't find peppers, find just some Tabasco sauce. You want to keep someone quiet. You want to keep someone, you know, in that inflamed state for whatever amount of time, find mm-hmm. some Tabasco sauce, make you working with that.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else can we think of here?
So our scenarios, we're in a hotel, we're stuck, somebody's throwing at us. I would definitely look at any sort of language piece of it. You know, saying the Psalms, always a good way to go. Seder square, putting them underfoot. You talked about water. You know, if you can get to a church, a Catholic church that's got holy water.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's a great thing to use. Or you can just bless your water, right?
Right.
So get some natural spring water.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that yourself.
Yeah. And see, a lot of people even get tripped up on that. They think that, you know, that the oil or the water just simply isn't good enough. If you think about it, what does the church use to anoint you with? It's just regular olive oil that's been prayed over. It works. It works just right. The same as anything else does. As far as water, you got to think about that too. Our bodies are mainly comprised of water. We need water to survive. Mm-hmm. These are things that we rely on, okay? So to not be able to work with those things, then, you know, you're just going to be stuck. If you can't find something simple like that to work with that you use in your everyday life already, then you're just kind of out of luck, you know, at that point.
And I'm going to say, and this may be a little rough for some delicate ears, but, you know, if you got nothing else, you got your body. And I spit on a lot of stuff. You know, so if I want to market, if I want to put my personal concerns, if I want to control somebody, if I want to make a connection with something, I got a mouthful of spit that I've got with me pretty much all the time.
Right.
Other bodily fluids, that's up to you and what's going on with the situation. But yeah, marking it with your spit, you know, it can be used for controlling. It can be used to make a connection with something or someone. And of course, if you can get their hair, fingernails, depends on how close they are to you. You know, you've got a hairbrush, you know, sitting there on the counter.
Toothbrush.
Sure, why not?
Toothbrush bristles. Uh-huh. Those work too. Anything that's come into contact with them.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big fan of contagion work. Whenever I make my oils, I put a lot more into it than simply the ingredients and the prayers. It, you know, and I think I've even mentioned this on the Facebook group on Traditional Conjure about when you make something, let's say, crossing oil. You want to put as much emotion into that as you can. Get yourself riled.
Oh yeah.
Don't be scared to do that, because if you're too timid to do that, then you're too timid to defend yourself. Point blank, you have to get yourself into a state, a trance, if you will, of sorts, to really focus that energy. You can't be happy go lucky or sad or even sad and depressed while being attacked and still be, you know, I guess the right word would be aggressive enough to truly hold someone off. So yeah, back to the whole olive oil thing. You know, you want some control. You want some sort of domination. Hell, if you got to pray over that oil, and like you said, spit in it or put one of your own personal concerns in it. You know, yell at that oil. Tell it exactly what it's going to do. Be vicious. Get angry. You know, a lot of people don't want to do that, because a lot of the people who come into the practice of hoodoo or conjure work, if they didn't grow up with it or whatever the case may be, and they, let's say, for instance, they come from some other practice that is all about peace and love and happiness and don't hurt other people and this and that, it almost crosses into an area of not even defending yourself. So they're almost kind of scared to delve into being human. And you can't be scared to do that. So, you know, yell at those objects that you create. Put your raw energy and emotion into them. If you can find materials to make a small poppet, you can rip some cloth off your shirt, stick some grass down in there if you ain't got cotton or something else around you, baptize it, name it, spit on it, tell it what you want. You know,
take a dirty sock. And tie it into the shape of a little poppet, fill it with whatever you can, and then I'd lay that rascal on the floor, get real riled up at it, and take my shoe and just beat the hell out of it.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
Just slam on it. Just hammer it, pound it with your shoe. Yeah, they may call the hotel manager to come check on you, but you know, get after it.
Yep.
Get after it. You're right. Exactly. I think there's a hesitancy with a lot of magical traditions that's not true with hoodoo, in that, you know, the rule of threes or this idea of, so this karmic, if you put out anger or whatever in the world, that's going to necessarily come back to you.
Right.
Not part of hoodoo. You know, well, if it's justified, you get after it.
Well, and you know, with saying that, you know, I believe in cause and effect. It's the karma issue that poses a problem, because if someone's okay, if someone comes up and punches you in the face, what are you going to do? Are you just going to cower and turn into a little ball in a corner? You know, no, you're going to defend yourself. And the same thing with this type of magic or whatever you want to call it, this
right.
type of contagion system. You know, that object becomes that person. That person is trying to attack you or is attacking you. So you defend yourself the best way that you know how. And when we talk about, you know, being stranded at this hotel and we have nothing to use and we're having to craft these objects, okay, seeing how we don't have those extra energies or attributes from certain herbs that we're used to using.
Right, the support from all the herbs and stuff.
Right. We kind of have to substitute that with our own energy. So it takes the form of a much more in-depth working, you know, to achieve the same sort of
effects. Right. Right. So I think it's interesting, and maybe we'll go into depth on this some other podcast, but the whole idea of intent, right?
Right.
So there's a line with that for me. Yeah, you want intent, you want purpose, you want your petition, you want to be clear about what the work is about. That gives it the energy and the connection to you. I do think, though, that there is a traditional system within hoodoo of certain herbs and plants and the spirit that lives in them that allows them to be used optimally for certain things, right? You can't just pick up any stick on the street and expect it to perform as well as, you know, Devil Shoestring or John the Conqueror. I guess you can, you know.
Well,
if you put enough intent in it.
Well, you know, yeah, and yes and no. I mean, you can put enough energy and intent into that working itself, but to imbue it into that specific plant or that specific object. Okay, for instance, whenever we create an object, we're creating a type of thought form, if you will, a entity all its own. Just like, for instance, when we make mojo hands, we're not creating a package that contains several different items. While that's what's in it, that's not what it becomes. It becomes its own spirit. Okay, so when we make these objects, we can sway that influence, we can push that energy into that object as a whole, but into the individual items, that's a little bit harder to do because everything does have its own spirit, everything does have its own attribute. So to try and negate that and work against it, that's a tough one. So yes, there are certain things that you cannot substitute, and I wouldn't even try substituting. So yeah, when you're out there and you don't have anything to use, of course, use what you have at hand, but try and stray from the things that are going to go against that working as well. So even though you don't have the money to go out and buy something specific, pay attention to what you're using, though.
Right. So it goes back to, again, one of the principles, the doctrine of signatures. So if something has in its behavior, in its pattern, in its look and in its shape, something that clearly will work toward this, I think you're fine. It's just when people are trying to use, you know, rosebuds in a crossing, you know, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know, you can't use something sweet like that.
No, you can't. So, yeah, I mean, we have to understand, you know, that hoodoo is a system that, once again, relies heavily upon what is around you. You know, back in the day, there weren't these shops where you could go online and buy all these fancy items. There just was not. So while they didn't have much to use, I guarantee you, just like you said, they're not going to use rosebud or lavender or, you know, some other fruity, florally smelling type of herb or root to do harm to someone or to even protect themselves.
Right.
So yeah, most definitely use what you have. Just be careful what it is that you're using so that it doesn't go against the intent. But yeah, so that's pretty much, I think that pretty much runs the gamut.
So, I mean, we didn't cover every possible situation, but who could, right? But just to give an idea of that, you know, that you can't, just because you're not without your, you know, fancy brand name condition oils and your special labeled 7-day candle and all that kind of stuff, doesn't mean that you can't do work.
Right.
In fact, you should.
Well, exactly. You know, and I've heard a lot of people who put either Kananga, which is Lang Lang and some other things, Kananga water or Florida mm-hmm. water in the water on their ancestors' table or in on another spirit's altar or something. I don't personally do that. My spirits are completely fine with just plain water, you know. So I mean, it's these little things that if you really break them down and you really pay attention to the methodology behind the work, you'll understand it so much more that it'll become very much second nature, and you'll be able to adapt to your surroundings so much better.
Yeah, so I think that's a really great challenge for most people as they're learning hoodoo or as they are becoming more accomplished with it. Look at not just the spells, not just memorizing spells. It takes X, Y, Z material in this specific oil and so on and so on. But what's the principle behind it? What is the theory or the magical principle that's going on? Is it contagion? Is it the doctrine of signatures? You know, what's going on that's making this work, right?
Right.
And if you do that, if you understand how it's working, what's underneath it, then you can apply that principle even if you don't have, you know, XYZ herb. You don't have your special bottle of, you know, follow me boy or follow me girl or kiss me now or whatever oils you happen to have. They're great to have,
yeah.
But I wouldn't put off doing the work because the order hasn't shipped yet.
Yeah, no, most definitely not. Most definitely not. So is there any other scenario that you just absolutely want to cover?
Yeah, so I would I would say there are times that you want to take advantage of your surroundings, you know? So if you have the chance and you need to work somebody, you know, if you're over at their house, go to the restroom, pluck a few hairs out of that hairbrush. You know, they're not going to miss that sock.
Oh, man, you're
it's a little
sneaky. Like
it's a little sneaky, but, you know, you do what you got to do.
Well, and since we're on that topic, let's, you know, if you don't have access to their home, but you absolutely need to work against these people and you want to be friendly about it, you want to be sneaky about it, there is several ways of doing this. Lay out some dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Lie down in front of your door. Let them come knock on your door. Pick up that footprint and bottle it up real quick. Go to shake someone's hand or give them a hug.
Yeah.
Hey, a little bit of crossing oil doesn't hurt. You know, there's tons of little sneaky things there. Like, for instance, I had one of my teachers a long time ago told me about using essence of bend over oil with a girlfriend of mine at the time by giving her a massage with it. And let's just say that it worked very well, you know. And so, yeah, there are tons of sneaky little tricks to use in hoodoo.
Yeah, one thing, well, now that it's wintertime, one of the things that some people can take advantage, because, you know, the old days, there's so much foot foot track magic, right, that we just don't have access to because we don't have dirt roads and, well, most of us don't have dirt roads or, you know, dirt front yards and paths and all that. So we can just go out and scoop up some dirt. But if they walk through the snow, there's a little slush, there's a little snow on your sidewalk, hell yeah, go out and scoop up that snow. Melt it down. Put it in a bottle. Work it.
Hey, you could even freeze it. Let it turn to water.
You could freeze it.
Unthaw it. Freeze it again. Thaw it out. Freeze it. There you go.
Yeah. Now, you folks down in Texas might have a harder time getting some snow prints, but we get plenty of it here.
Yeah, man, every once in a while we get a little bit of snow, but even then it's brown, so I don't really think that counts.
Yeah, it all counts. It all works, right?
Right. It all works. It doesn't matter if it's dirt, salt, snow. I don't care what it is. If their foot track is on it, something that is attached to them, there you go. That's all you need. That's all you need. It doesn't matter what material it's in, you know. So, most definitely the whole entire thing is remember to use what you have. Do not stress, like Ames said, do not stress about that order being shipped to you. Do not stress about, oh, is there a Botanica, 5-10 miles away from me? Do not worry about that. You don't have that, you don't have that red candle for that love spell you want to do. Hey, there's always white. Do you have the energy and the relationship with the spirits to achieve it? Because if you do, that white candle will work just as good. So,
yeah.
Pay attention to your surroundings and just, like I said, use what you got.
And we're going to take a short break before getting into our second segment. Here is Memphis Minnie, When the Levee Breaks.
And the water gon' come, I have no place to stay. Well, all last night I sat on the lever and moaned. Well, all last night I sat on the lever and moaned, thinking about my baby and my happy home. If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. And all these people have no place to stay. Now look here, mama, what am I to do? Now look here, mama, what am I to do? I ain't got nobody to tell my troubles to. I works on the levee, mama, both night and day. I works on the levee, mama, both night and day. I ain't got nobody to keep the water away. I'm going back to my used to be. a mean old lady, coming to weep and moan. Coming to leave my baby and my happy home.
Hey guys, Papa Matthew Levi here, and I hope y'all enjoyed the first segment of the second episode of the Traditional Conjure Podcast, where myself and Professor Ames covered MacGyver hoodoo. Now I want to take a few minutes to talk about mojo hands, what they are, what they do, and how do you create them. The reason I want to cover this is because we were discussing in the first segment of this episode about what do you do when you don't have certain materials or items at hand to use. And so mojo hands play a very integral role in this because they are essentially a working that you carry with you. So what are mojo hands? Well, a mojo hand is essentially a piece of cloth, traditionally being of red flannel, that contains herbs, powders, petitions, and other curios such as bones, money, graveyard dirt, and maybe other trinkets that carry specific attributes geared towards what it is that you're trying to bring about or to accomplish. They're then tied closed, usually a certain way depending on how the worker was taught, and brought to life through prayers and other means, named or baptized, and then fed and carried on the person's body for a period of time. This is usually about 7 days, during which time the mojo hand is kept close to the person's skin and even slept with in order to form a bond with it. During the creation of a mojo hand, it's spoken to and told what its purpose is, and it's given praise and told what a good job it'll be doing. Prayers may also be said throughout its creation, but focus on creating it and the intent is of importance while making it. One thing to also understand about creating a mojo hand is that even though there are different items going into it, it becomes one spirit all its own, built by the different attributes of what it contains. You are creating life. You're creating a being that has a specific purpose and a task to carry out. So now we know what a mojo hand is and what really makes it work. How do we create one? Well, I'm about to give you a recipe to create a very strong protection hand that you can carry with you at all times to keep you well protected from harm or tricks that are thrown at you. This hand, after being made and bonded with, can also be kept in your home, above doorways, on your windowsill, or in your car, or various other places that you'd like to keep protection over. What you're going to need is a small square of cloth, some white string, a personal concern such as a strand of hair or a fingernail, a white candle, and the candle can be a tea light, some incense that's used for strength or blessings, so something like dragon's blood or frankincense, and then the following items: salt, devil's shoestring, 2 bay leaves, and some graveyard dirt from the grave of a soldier. First thing that you want to do is take your square cloth and place it on the very first page of the book of Genesis in the Bible. The reason for this is because the book of Genesis tells us the story of the beginning when God created everything, even mankind. You'll begin by writing out your petition, which states your desire. A really simple way to do this, for those of you who are unfamiliar with writing petitions, is get you a small slip of paper. Write your full name. If you're married, use your maiden name. Write this in the center of the slip of paper. Now over your name, you'll place your personal concern, whether it be hair or a fingernail. Next, in a clockwise fashion, you'll write the word protection multiple times, creating a circle around your name. When you do this, you'll be connecting the word each time without lifting the pen from the paper, in essence, creating a circle that's unbroken. Pick up the paper and fold it towards yourself 3 times, turning it clockwise after each fold, and place this in your cloth. Now what you're going to do is take a pinch of salt, enough to form a circle around your petition, and sprinkle it clockwise around your petition, telling the salt that it will protect you. Now on top of the petition, you'll sprinkle some of the graveyard dirt, asking that the spirit of that soldier guard you. On top of that, you'll place 2 bay leaves, forming an equal arm cross, followed by some devil shoestring that will hobble or trip up the devil and any negativity coming your way. Recite a prayer of protection over this before closing it up. Psalm 23 is good for this, but Psalm 91 is especially good for this. Also, say a prayer from your heart in your own words, asking for spirit to empower this mojo hand so that it can protect you. Now you'll pull all four corners of the cloth together so that you have essentially a round ball to form the base of the mojo hand with extra cloth at the top. Make the ball nice and tight and compact, and twist the neck between the ball and the extra cloth clockwise and tie it shut with your string. For this part, I recommend you go to YouTube, search for the channel Traditional Conjure. I actually have a video on there that I did a while back that shows the way that I tie my mojo hands, because it's not a simple knot. So for this step, definitely go check out that video. It's a lot easier for people to see it done than to read it and still fully understand it. So once you have it tied, you'll cut off the excess string and extra cloth, and then pass it through the incense and then over the flame of the candle to heat up the work and to get it moving around. Now hold the mojo hand in your left hand. The reason I say left hand is because the left hand is the closest to your heart, so it's always true. Now you're going to tap your mojo hand 3 times, telling it to wake up, just as a doctor does when delivering a baby who's not yet crying. You then want to read Genesis 2:7, which states, "And God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now cup your mojo hand in your hands. Take a deep breath and breathe onto your mojo hand, giving it the breath of life. Smile and welcome it to the world and tell it what its name will be. Feed it for the first time, either a dab of holy water, Florida water, or maybe a dab of whiskey. Keep it on you for the next 7 days and talk to it by name every day and tell it what a good job it's doing for you, and become friends with your mojo hand. This is very, very important to do. After 7 days is up, feed it again, and then feed it weekly as well. Don't let anyone touch your mojo hand. And there you have it. So now that you have your mojo hand prepared and working for you, keep it on you, talk to it periodically. You can, like I said, feed it once a week. Sometimes I find myself feeding my own hands once a day. It just really depends on what feel you get from it and what you believe that it needs at that time. Make sure to talk to it by name, squeeze it, show it affection, and truly form that bond. Once again, that is a very important step in this. So I wish you all the best of luck and blessings and a great relationship with your mojo hand. Stay tuned, because we'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 3. Until then, may spirit be with you, and many blessings to you all.